flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Senior Bowl practices are a wrap in Mobile, Alabama. Now we're just waiting on the game on Saturday. Some of the top talent in the nation there on display in front of scouts as we gear up for the NFL draft, which will be just around the corner. One of the guys that was made an impression at the Senior Bowl, LSU tight end Mason Taylor. Heard rave reviews about him in the one-on-one drills, especially in the red zone. 6'5", 255 pounders, a son of Pro Bowl Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Jason Taylor, also the nephew of Zach Taylor, who's also a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll see what lies ahead for Mason. Here's what he had to say after a practice at Senior Bowl.
Last couple days going through, you think?
Pretty good, yeah. Practice has been good, and again, learning from all these guys and having an opportunity to compete with everyone around the country has been an amazing opportunity.
Yes, you know, I was talking to Angela, the tight ends coach, and she said one of the things she's observed about you over the last couple of days is just you're very even keeled. You never get too high, too low. You know, is that just something that's just you? Like, or is that something you've actually kind of worked on in terms of, you know, okay, big play, bad play, it's always kind of the same reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just how I was raised, a compliment to my mom and dad. Just being always even through hard times and good times as well, but also seeing guys like teammates like Jaden Daniels being so calm and resilient in moments of pressure really helps me become and see him as a role model and try to put that in my toolbox as well.
How has kind of watching his season been? It seems like yesterday you were catching the two-point conversion from him against Alabama. Now he's in the NFC Championship. What has that been like watching him?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, like I said, it's not really surprising because I knew he's capable of doing that. And it's awesome to see. And just awesome to see him get paid for his type of play and how successful he's been in Washington is definitely great for him.
Yeah, Gotcha. And just one more question. You know, when you watch the NFL, when you watch these games on Sundays, you know, is there any tight ends in the league that you look at and you try to model your game after? Anyone you would compare yourself to at this point?
Yeah, I think I really like George Kittle. The way he's a complete tight end, does everything for the offense in the run game, in the pass game. So being a complete tight end and being that answer for every game and is a huge, and the way he has fun with it as well. Just at the end of the game, at the end of the day, it's just a game of football. So I mean, how he has fun and laughs and enjoys the whole process is definitely something I try to do as well.
That was Mason Taylor for LSU this year. He had 55 catches, 546 yards, 2 touchdowns, and anxious to see where he ends up in the NFL draft. A prospect I know will get a lot of attention from teams in need of that tight end position. And hearing him say, you know, he kind of admires the guy, looks up to the game of George Kittle. Yeah, I'm sure teams would love that too.
I'm like banging the table, and I've been banging the table for so long for the Saints to draft a tight end.
You really have.
Mason Taylor's intriguing, man. And so here's my issue, though. Mike has said that he thinks he's going to go late day one, early day two.
Wow, okay.
If he doesn't get picked in the first round and he gets past, like, the Chiefs, right? Travis Kelce wins his third straight Super Bowl and rides off into the sunset, you know, whatever. He could be an option for Kansas City at the very end of the first round. However, if he doesn't go there and he falls into day two, that's where I think the Saints could be in play for someone like Mason Taylor. Because if you're looking at the tight end position, I've been begging the Saints for a while to finally invest in it.
Yep.
And to invest in a lot of positions, to be fair. But they've kind of ignored the tight end spot, and it's been too long. Now, with Mason Taylor, he's interesting because he's behind the top two guys. This tight end class is really solid. It's not as loaded as it was a couple years ago, but it's got some really strong top-end talent. Mike's top of the board is, I agree with him wholeheartedly about the top four guys. Number one is Tyler Warren. Now, Mike is really, really high on Colson Loveland. Tyler Warren, by the way, the tight end from Penn State. He was the best tight end. He won the Mackey Award this past year. He's a force. Just go watch that guy's tape. He's unbelievable. He can do so many things for you on offense. Whoever picks him up and drafts him in the first round, this is going to be a first-round pick, is going to improve their offense instantly. Number two is Colson Loveland. And Colson Loveland wasn't on display as much this year because the quarterback play at Michigan was so awful. However, he's still a very strong prospect. He's going to be a first-round pick as well, probably closer to round 20, right? So you're going to have those two first-round picks, a guy like Tyler Warren that's probably going to go top 15. You know, we'll see exactly where he ends up falling. Colson Loveland's also a first-round pick. And then Mason Taylor and Elijah Arroyo from Miami are those next two guys in line. It feels like it's those two and then a little bit of a gap, and then you got Mason Taylor and Elijah Arroyo. Either one of them, on day two, if the Saints are picking and they have them available, I'd be cool. Like, sure. There are other holes that you need to fill in this team, but the Saints desperately need to invest in the tight end position. And Mason Taylor is a really interesting one. Mike's comp for him kind of blew my mind, but the more, you know, I'll look into his tape and everything like that, the more I'll probably see it. Mike sees Sam Laporta in Mason Taylor. And that's why he has him as a late first round pick.
Wow.
Potentially early second round pick.
Sold on that, man. I don't know what it is. It seemed in fantasy football, any team I played against, Laporta always killed me because I didn't have him.
And it's interesting because I know that some people aren't as high on Mason Taylor, but I love what he said there when he was talking about his relationship with Jaden Daniels and how Daniels taught him to be calm in those pressure moments. NFL teams are going to love that.
Right.
So Mason Taylor's an interesting one to watch. I'm very interested to see how he does in the pre-draft process. He's already doing very, very well at the Senior Bowl, but later on, like the combine leading up into the draft, and then ultimately where he ends up getting picked. If it's going to be a day one pick or an early day two pick, he's not going to be lasting much longer than the first 40 picks of the draft.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
More on the Senior Bowl. Every player there is going to be honoring this week Princeton University star Tiger Besh. He was killed in the Bourbon Street attack back on New Year's Day. All the players are going to be wearing the number 7 sticker on their helmet. That was the Tigers jersey number at Princeton. His younger brother, Jack, is playing in the game and is wearing number 7 for the game on Saturday. He's a former star at LSU and TCU. Jack's projected to be selected a 3rd or 4th round selection in the upcoming draft. He also spoke with the media after practice the other day, and here's what Jack Besh, TCU wide receiver, had to say.
What does this mean, all the outpouring of the stickers and the jersey and everything?
Yeah, it means a lot. It's actually his golden birthday today. His 28th birthday, he was turning 28. So just everything I'm doing out here is just, you know, all for him, all in memory of him. My why is always with my family. But, you know, it's kind of taken up a notch, you know, the past of my brother. So, you know, like I said, just being persistent, consistent for him, just coming out here, working hard every day. You're not going to win every rep, but, you know, damn well, I'm going to give him my best hand every time. I'm going to make sure to do that, you know, the rest the way on and off the football field, just in memory of my brother, just trying to live his legacy on.
The pride and just the drive to get to the next level, but now knowing that you are playing for him, I mean, just the extra that provides.
Yeah, 100%. It takes you to a place that that you didn't know that you had in you, of like hard work, consistency. You know, Kobe always says you have to work so hard it makes people around you uncomfortable. That they think that you're weird, you work so hard. And I never really understood what he meant by that. Like, what does Kobe mean whenever he says that? Like, I know he works hard, but what does that truly mean? And I feel like these past couple weeks since he's passed, you know, training up at Exos, like, I've been working that hard, and it's been that kind of, so I finally kind of understand what he means by that. And that's something that I'm just keep going to do so I can chase greatness all in the name of my brother.
I don't mean to bring up one of the worst moments of your life again, but what was New Year's like for you, finding that out?
Yeah, hard. Like I said, that was my best friend. He was my other half, so these tattoos are right here, symbolizing that he was my other half of me. You know, this is going to stay clear. Nothing is ever going to be put on this side, but this shows that he's on my heart right here, and he's just the whole left side of me, my other half. So, like I said, it drives me every day. It's definitely super hard to be able to fight through it, but like I said, you grow through adversity if you look at it the right way and have the right perception of it. And that's what me and my family did. You know, we just decided to not ask why us, but to just embrace it and bring such a bad, tragic event into a bunch of light and bring a lot of people to Jesus Christ. And so it was a good feeling to just be out here, be in front of all the guys, be with all the guys. And, you know, he lived all his dreams almost. The one he had on the top of his bucket list was to see me make it to the NFL. So that drives me every day.
One football question. Louisiana guy, Lafayette guy, you were LSU through and through. How hard was it for you to leave LSU? But obviously it turned out to be the right choice.
Yeah, so no, my first goal was to play football at LSU. My second goal was to take care of my family and make it to the NFL. And I knew that in order to make that happen, that I was going to have to make a change, even though I knew it was going to be hard. You know, I just trusted in God, trusted that he had a plan, because he always does. And everything ended up working out. And whenever I wake up, I thank God every morning that he gave me the opportunity. He gave me a TCU to be able to shine.
One more question here. I think your family has some history with the Saints, and obviously the lineage through LSU. All 32 teams will be a dream when you get drafted. What would it mean if you could stay in Louisiana and wear the black and gold?
Yeah, you know, I think it would go for any team. And I wake up every day, people ask me, oh, do you have a favorite team, a least favorite team, yada, yada. I just say, I mean, the percent that I get to be able to just have this conversation and make it to this level is very small. So I just thank God that I'm just in this position to be able to thrive and to be able to play the sport I love for the people I love.
That was former LSU Tiger and current TCU wide receiver Jack Besh there. Really rooting for the young man. Obviously a tough situation that he went through. And that's we were talking about it kind of when the interview we were listening there, Charlie. It's hard to even think about continuing on when you lose someone like that in your family.
It's unfathomable. Like, this is Jack Besh, and the comments that he was making about, you know, getting to this point and kind of honoring his brother by, you know, making it to the NFL. You can't help but root for this kid. Local product, by the way. He went to STM from Lafayette, so St. Thomas More. Yes, Jack Besh. I love that question at the end, by the way, where they're asking him, like, you know, if you get drafted by the Saints, because he's going to be in that range, you know, kind of borderline top 100 pick, like late day two, early day three. I don't know. I like Jack Besh a lot, by the way. He catches everything. Everything that touches his hands, it's like he's got glue on his gloves. So
you can use that guy.
No, he's an intriguing prospect for sure. And he had a breakout this past year with TCU going over 1,000 yards. He's apparently been killing it at the Senior Bowl. You know, the situation from New Year's is tragic, what happened to his brother. But as far as, you know, rooting for a kid, like, that's your number one guy. I hope he succeeds. I hope he gets drafted. And I hope he has a very long NFL career.
Very cool stuff. Everybody wearing the number on their helmets for the game. And obviously, Jack Besh will be sporting that jersey number, honoring his brother. We saw Senior Bowl week. You know, it's a progression at practices for a lot of players. I think especially the quarterbacks getting used to, you know, a bunch of new players is difficult. Jalen Milroe, Alabama's QB, seemed like a perfect example of that. He seemed to be swimming during most of the first and second days of practice, according to reports. The footwork, the snap exchange from center. However, today's session was a lot different. He seemed to have a comfort level that materialized. And after those previously poor outings, they didn't bleed into the final day of padded practice. Our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, caught up with Milroe, and here's what he had to say after today's Senior Bowl session.
Jalen, did you and Jack Besh kind of build a connection there? It seemed like you hit on him.
Oh, 100%. You know, number one is relationship, getting to know him. That was the most important thing, getting to know him, being around him for the short period of time. But, you know, chemistry is important when you have receiver-to-quarterback relationship, and that's something that's built, you know, with this small time we had together. And so the best thing we had the last 2 days, you know, reflecting on that, getting on the same page, because timing is everything when it comes to quarterback to receiver. So I was able to do that, you know, with the week we had.
When you have a receiver that's that physical and you know you can just throw it up, he's going to go win. How nice is that?
Oh, 100%. He the truth. I got to give it to him. That man's a dog. He can play every position. You know, we had him an inside receiver. We had him an outside. You know, he's able to move around, and he's definitely a threat for defenses.
Gotcha. You know, Jalen, what are some of the things you want to show people? What do you want people to be saying about you when you walk out of here at the end of this week?
Just everything, you know, that's poured into the game. You know, the opportunity that I have to play, I'm going to take advantage of it. You know, I'm going to pour everything I can to be the best version of myself and never get complacent. You know, and I learned so much from my losses, you know, more than my wins. And so my loss is when I'm at my best. And so that's when I just try to improve, try to grind and compete and refine. That's a part of my plan, part of the process.
Jalen Milroe, Alabama QB there at the Senior Bowl. A prospect, I think, that is expected to go day two of the NFL draft in the second round. I guess you could do some things at the combine that may push him into the first round conversation, because we know that QB talk or the stock usually ends up taking a dramatic rise, you know, as you get closer to the draft. It'd be interesting to see if somebody maybe takes a flyer on him late in the first round, because you get that extra fifth year on the QB option.
So when we were interviewing with Jeff in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike called him the quote unquote ultimate enigma. He has no idea what to think. Well, Mike knows what to think about him. He sees, you know, the plays that he can make with the deep ball, but then he kind of struggles with kind of the shorter intermediate passes, and it's just kind of a strange prospect. As far as this year's draft class goes, Steve, where you have, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward that are bona fide first round picks in this class, they're okay talents. They'd probably be like QB 7 and 8 in last year's draft class, which kind of tells you how good this QB class is. But if you're looking at Jalen Milroe or maybe Jackson Dart, who we'll hear from in just a second,
right?
Those are probably the guys that could be in contention to be the third quarterback off the board. But as Mike had mentioned earlier, the way that the NFL views Milroe, it's a spectrum. It's like the cone of uncertainty, where some teams will have him, yeah, we would take him in the first round. Other teams would have him, we wouldn't touch him with a pick in the first three rounds. So it's going to be one team is going to fall in love with him and take him. And Mike made a great point earlier on the show. Tommy Rees is the new offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. He was promoted recently. He was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach of Alabama in 2023. There's an interesting little connection there. So watch out for the Cleveland Browns if they decide that they want Jalen Milroe as their QB of the future. Whoever takes him, Steve, if we're being honest with ourselves, he's going to have to sit a year. He's not ready. You can't throw him out there and be day one starter like Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams or some of these other guys from this year's draft class. You can't just throw him out there and have him be, okay, go win some against NFL defenses because he's going to fail. But if you draft him with a plan to sit him and let him learn and develop, then you may have something. But he also has to go to the right system for his talents and skill sets. So whatever team takes him, that's all I would have to say. Have a plan for Jalen Milroe, because if you don't, you're doing the kid a disservice.
The wonderful media, the social media, saw a few Saints fans at least clamoring to maybe select Jalen Milroe. I don't know if he would be a good fit for Kellen Moore's system if he ends up becoming the head coach here. Would he be interested in taking a guy like Milroe to groom as the next black and gold QB?
Sure. I mean, if Kellen loves Jalen Milroe in the pre-draft process,
roll with it.
Yeah, for sure. However, I don't know if I would want to take him at pick 9, though, Steve. That's kind of
no.
My
that's definitely
back.
Way early. I'm saying maybe if they're second round pick,
sure, yeah. Absolutely. If they think that if Kellen Moore sees, you know, Jalen Hurts and Jalen Milroe, Jalen Hurts is also a second round pick, by the way.
Right.
Go get him in the second round. Why not?